a top producing real estate broker, author, CEO, and founder of TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, connecting you with top performing agents for 2% commission. Each week, we bring you exclusive interviews with industry experts, covering everything from staging to negotiation strategies to home inspection issues and everything in between. Whether you're selling your home, a first-time home buyer, or a seasoned investor, we've got you covered. Let's make your real estate dreams a reality in this fast-moving and ever-changing real estate market. This program is funded in whole or in part by Trusted Agent USA, Illinois license number 475-145-795. Now, here's Larry.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. And my name is Larry Shackman. You are listening to the Real Estate Radio Show, and we're happy to have you here. We have a great guest I'm going to bring on in a second here. Dylan Kramer is going to be joining us again from Neighborhood Loans. And of course, this is the day that everything changes, right? For real estate agents, for buyers, for sellers. And I say that half jokingly as I'm looking at a headline on Inman News, which is the real estate news site everybody goes to online. Landmark Real Estate Commission rules officially go into effect today. So the new rules, of course, are the result of the National Association of Realtors major antitrust settlement. They're poised supposedly to change the way how agents are paid and how buyers have to kind of maneuver through the real estate transaction. And honestly, I don't think anything's going to change at all. We're going to talk to Dylan about that when we bring him on. You are listening to us on 820 AM. We're coming to you from those studios here in Chicago, and we're happy to have you. Remember that real estate is a full contact sport, which we're all about to find out going forward now from August 17th on as these rules change. So remember, if you have anything you want to say, if you want to join in, jump in, give us a call at 773-763-9278. And let's get this party started. Again, my name is Larry Shackman. I'm going to be your real estate therapist and host for the next hour on the Real Estate Radio Show. I head up a group of realtors over at LPT Realty Lux Group. And first of all, I want to thank our guest last week, Michael Lafito, who joined us for Selling Luxury, which is something we do the second Saturday of every month. Michael joins us and we get into a talk about what's going on in the luxury market here in Chicagoland and, not only in Chicagoland, but on a macro level too, across the country. And the luxury market is pretty hot, frankly. And so is the bread and butter market. You know, like we always say, real estate is local. So it really just all depends on where you are. But we have a couple of really cool open houses this weekend, this Sunday. So from 11 to 1 at 3102 White Oak in Oak Brook. Now, guys, this is a $4.295 million house, 12,000 square feet of just pure luxury living on 3 acres in the middle of Oak Brook. It is going on this Sunday from 11 to 1. And we also have another one at 921 Batavia in Geneva. And this is from 2 to 4 p.m. This is a $2.5 million, little under 6,000 square feet home. Just an outstanding backyard that backs up, I believe, to the DuPage River. And it's outstanding. So if you're looking for a little sanctuary that you can go hide away in during these crazy times, check out 921 Batavia in Geneva from 2 to 4 p.m. this Sunday. So this week we are joined by my friend, associate, and home loan specialist over at Neighborhood Loans, Dylan Kramer. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, Larry, how are you today? I'm glad to be back in the saddle here on the Real Estate Radio Show.
Yeah, I am doing great. I'm glad you're doing well, too. Let's thank and welcome Devin to the board here, helping us out this Saturday morning. And, you know, again, full contact sports, 773-763-9278. Give us a call if you'd like to jump in. We're also excited to announce that we're streaming live on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And, of course, you can follow us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Dylan, so today is the day. Today's it.
Today is the day, Larry. Today is the day.
Today's the day that nothing happens.
Yes. You know, it's funny because you may recall, especially for listeners to the show, that you and I months ago sat here and when the lawsuit resolution was announced and we railed on the execution of the NAR lawyers and we talked a little bit about some of the impact overall on the market. And you may say, you may remember I said, you know, we're going to change the paperwork and then everybody's going to move on pretty much exactly how we did before.
Exactly.
And I'm no Karnak for those of you of a certain age, but we're going to turn around and we've changed the paperwork. And today we're going to move on pretty much as we did before.
Yeah. And I think like we were talking before we came on the air. I think, I don't think much is going to change.
No.
I really don't. I, you know,
look, the fact of the matter is, you know, you know as well as I do that, look, everybody who's a professional real estate agent does a credible job and deserves to earn a fee for their services. And at the end of the day, if you are a seller, and you think for a second that you're going to turn around and kind of jam the buyer's agent out of money and still sell to that same person, you got another thing coming in terms of how the real world works, right? At the end of the day, because if you're a buyer's agent, what you're going to do is you're going to probably start with a write-up that says, hey, I'm looking for this much in terms of the buyer's commission. And that may be negotiable, right? That may end up being something that the seller doesn't pay in its entirety. But now that buyers have to have a signed agreement in terms of the compensation, any professional agent, I'm sure you have a plan for this as well, is going to say to their buyer, hey, look, this is going to be my fee to help you get into the property. We're going to ask the sellers to contribute to it in order to do that. And if there's any gap, you'll pay it in cash. And that probably makes a lot of sense in terms of transparency, which was the goal of the lawsuit. But the fact of the matter is, it's going to be negotiable. I don't see a situation, as we talked about, where the buyers themselves are going to have an extra 2.5% above their down payment, above their closing costs, to pay their agent in cash. And if they did, they'll negotiate for 2.5% off the purchase price, and the seller's not going to make the money anyway.
Yeah.
So what's all the fuss about?
Yeah.
Can you tell me that?
I don't know. Actually, I can't tell you that.
No, sorry.
I thought
I was going to get the answer.
No, sorry. I have to tell you, I mean, if you think this all through, what you just said is exactly correct. And that is that, number one, most buyers, let's take a $1 million home. And we're going to get into this a little more in headlines, but the $1 million homes are not, you know, as rare as they used to be.
No,
not at all.
No, as a matter of fact, if you bought a $600,000 home about 4 years ago, you might live in a $1 million home today.
There you go. And we're going to get into some percentages of that in a little bit.
Sure.
In terms of, you know, how many homes out there are actually worth $1 million. And in terms of the aggregate number of homes in the United States and what percentage of those are now worth $1 million as compared to pre-pandemic or even last year. And I think listeners and even you might be a little surprised about that. I was. We've talked about it a little bit.
I'll be fascinated to go down that rabbit hole with a guy like you.
We will talk about that in a minute. But let's just take a $1 million home
for
a second. You got a buyer that's buying a $1 million home in whatever town, city, suburb, whatever. Now, $1 million home at 2.5%, which is a typical commission. I know that's a dirty word. We don't like to use that, but it is. It's what a typical buyer agency commission is in here in Chicago Metro, where we sit, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So 2.5% of $1 million is 25 grand. Okay. So most people that are buying $1 million homes are financing that home. You know, when you get up into some rare air, like $2 to $4 million and above, a lot of those people are buying for cash.
Right.
However, you know, people buying $1 million homes are not. They are typically financing. So what is the seller going to be asking the buyer to do if they're not prepared to pay that buyer agency commission? They're asking them to bring an additional 25 G's right. to the table, exactly. which I guarantee you 90% of them do not have, are not going to do that. And if they do have to do that, you know what they're going to do? They're going to pay you 25 grand.
They're going to pay you 975 for the house. Yes, that's the reality of the situation. Let's not kid ourselves.
And that is what's going to happen. So I think, you know, sellers, like, for instance, when I speak to a seller that says, oh, I'm not paying that buyer commission.
Right.
I mean, why would I do that? The rules have changed. I don't have to do it. And why would I do it? Out of my money.
You know, I think a couple of things, Larry, that I want to kind of give to you. I got an example, but we'll get to that in a minute. I think the interesting thing is I think that of the unintended consequence that we may see over the course of the next little while, right, is one of the things that you as a real estate professional, as the agent for either the buyer or the seller in the transaction, and obviously if you both have agents in any transaction, then you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're talking to each other. One of the things that happens is you're able to have a fairly dispassionate conversation with each other as real estate professionals, right? You're let's say you're representing the buyer in a transaction, and I'm representing the seller, and you write up an offer and you send it over, and we call and we're talking about $1 million property and blah, blah, blah. We go back and forth. It's not worth $1 million. We offered 920, blah, blah, blah. But we go back and forth professionally, even if we're advocating strongly for, you know, there aren't enough bathrooms, the square footage, the driveway, all the things that make up real estate, right? And we're able to turn around and advocate for our clients because we're a step removed. The reason they have agents is so that they're not arguing with each other emotionally.
Of course.
Now you are interjecting this idea that not only if I'm the selling agent, I have to argue with you about how much value you're bringing to the transaction because I don't want to pay you. Mm-hmm. In addition to the discussion about the value of the real estate. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden my vested personal interests become part of the negotiation process. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I like that. And more importantly, I would ask somebody if there was a board like a National Association of Real Estate Professionals to ask, is this the intended result that now you and I are arguing about our personal value and contribution to the transaction, not just the value for our clients in the real estate? That extra level of negotiation and value, I think, has a chance to be a problem. And I'm fascinated to see A, what you think, and B, what do you think how it will play out? Well,
I think on some levels, you know, listen, professionals that are looking to do business with a consumer have to articulate and prove their value.
Right.
So I don't think that's a bad thing. I really sure. don't. What I'm going to say to sellers that say to me, let's say you're interviewing me to hire me right. to sell your $1 million property. And you say, Larry, listen, the rules have changed. This is a new day. I don't have to pay buyer agency commissions
right.
and I'm not going to. I'm going to say, Dylan, I totally get it. I understand. But I want to make sure that you know that 90%+, if not more, of the offers that you're going to receive are going to include a request for buyer agency
compensation.
So what I would suggest is don't just summarily dump all those in the garbage and set them on fire.
Right.
Look at each offer individually and see what is your net going to be. What is that? What are they asking? What are they looking to pay you? What's your net going to be after that commission? If it doesn't meet your number, you can always negotiate that.
Right.
But if you are planning on, if you're planning on just setting all those offers on fire, right? That come in requesting a buyer agency commission.
Right.
Let me tell you something. You are going to be decreasing the buyer pool that is looking at your home seriously by about 90%.
For sure.
And that's just something you're going to have to think about. I'm okay with that if that's what you want to do. But here's what's going to happen. The offers that do come in that are not asking for a buyer agency commission, guess what? If they're paying that buyer agency commission, where do you think they're getting that money, folks? They're getting it out of the purchase price. They are no longer going to be offering you X. They're going to be offering you Y because they have to pay that commission now.
Correct.
If you don't think that's going to happen, trust me, that's happening.
Look, everybody's going to do the math, Larry, and that's really ultimately, look, we talk about real estate transactions, and it's not just on the financing element of it. Like, the financing is part of it, but even in cash transactions where, you know, the buyer is able to bring all the money to the closing, the fact of the matter is that the bottom line is the bottom line. The numbers, where are the numbers? Where's the value? And at the end of the day, I think that it's going to be very – it's going to be a very interesting 90 days as we kind of feed our way through this, and as we get to the end of the year, which frighteningly is, you know, we're going to be at the holidays. I mean, it's going to be Thanksgiving 3 months from now, right?
Hey, I got my Halloween decorations up already.
Good. You know what? You and Costco both. And so the thing is that I think that, you know, we'll know more in 90 days about how it looks in the real world, but I think that, you know, much like the time from the lawsuit settlement to today, we know what's going on. We just have to wait for it to play out in the marketplace. And what's going on is, you know, buyer's compensation is not going away. You know, it's funny. I had a, now let me tell you this story real quick. I had this longtime client of mine selling a condo in the South Loop. She was moving to the suburbs, bought a condo there, and was selling the house after she moved out. So it was vacant, and you know, she went and got some sort of really cheap discount representation on the seller side, right? Put it in the MLS, photos taken with an iPhone, right? The whole thing, and put it on. And of course, it was some version of my neighbors in the next building have a similar unit to me, and they sold it for $425. And so I'm better than them. And I was like, okay, why? She's like, well, it's just better. So we're going to ask $440 or $450 or whatever she was asking. And I'm not paying the buyer commission. She had to put in the notes in the MLS. And then she called me 3 weeks later, and she's like, you won't believe it. Like, what? She's like, nobody has come to look at my house. No way. She's like, I've been on the market for 3 weeks. I'm like, have you? Have you been on the market?
Yeah.
Or have you been kind of over in the corner?
Yeah.
In the, you know, if you think of the market like a big box, right? Are you in the market where all these people can see you? Or are you tacked in the corner where nobody's looking, where there's a dark shadow? And
door number two.
Yeah. And so, you know, the funny thing is that she ended up selling, you know, she paid a little more money for a little more exposure, you know, on the a la carte real estate agency thing. And then offered $1,000 in buyer's compensation. And that got her traction, but she ended up paying, you know, 2% to the ultimate buyer's agent.
She did.
Yeah.
So
but it took 10 weeks to sell, when I would argue that she's got a condo in the West Loop that if it's priced right and represented right,
it sells in 2 weeks.
Exactly. And so now, don't get me wrong, she probably saved some money, but I think she was more lucky than good.
Well, let me ask in the grand scheme of things. So did she sell it for close to her list price? Did she sell it for list price?
You know, she sold it for, I would say, 97 or 98% of what the comp that she thought she was better than sold for.
Okay.
So she probably sold for 92 or 90% of what she originally asked. But she was originally asking too much. She probably sold for 97 or 98% of real value. But that goes back to other things that we've talked about previously relative to your real estate situation. And that is, you've got to listen to your professional when they tell you what the price should be. You shouldn't make it up yourself. Because, you know, I saw a thing, Larry. I saw it from one of your competitors in my social media feed. And I thought it was really fascinating. I'd love to get your opinion on it. Her spin was, you should do absolutely meticulous research on pricing if you are representing the seller as an agent. Meticulous. This is our price. And you may be able to speak to this Buffalo Grove listing that you sold before it actually hit the market. And then the old school way of, all right, it's worth X, and we're going to mark it up 20 grand or 50 grand or 10% so that we know we have room to negotiate down. That is a false narrative that is dead nowadays. What you need to do is take whatever your final value is and go in at 95, 96, 97%, because there are so many buyers watching the market. There's so much data mining that buyers, when it hits realtor.com, Zillow, et cetera, the feeds, right? People will know that place is underpriced, and we have to go see it now. And now you're going to sell for 100% of purchase price, or 102 or 103, because of the bidding war, because you seemed underpriced, rather than the old school way of, we'll just ask a little more and negotiate down.
Yeah.
True or not true?
Completely true in that I agree with you and her. I would not price it at 95 or 96%. That's a little low, but the same exact dynamic, what you're talking about, is doable if you just price it slightly under market value or right at market
value. So we can discuss, I don't really care what the details are, right? In terms of whether it's 96 or 95% or 98%.
Well, but the point is,
it could be, except that if you get, if you price it 98%, you get two or three offers, and you price it 95%, you get six, you're probably going to come up to the market value, right?
And so, yes, bottom line is, multiple offers are a good thing. They always drive your price up. Exactly what you said and what she intimated, who or he or
whoever. It was she, yeah, it doesn't matter.
So whoever you were talking to, she makes a good point in that if you think you're going to, if your home is worth $550,000, and you're going to list it at $590,000 or $580,000 because you want to have room to negotiate, you are making the biggest mistake of your life. You go to sell your home. Right. That is the absolute wrong way to sell your home, particularly in this market where, you know, the most important thing when you put your house on the market is to get as many eyes on that property as possible when you first come on the market. Because when you first come on the market, you are never more sought after. Nobody has ever rejected your property for price, condition, or location. And so the more people you can get through that door, not only see your property, but see each other as well.
Right.
Property, then that is, that's the,
well, that creates the, we, right. That creates the, we got to move quick, right? We got to get after it and make a bid. We got to buy this place.
Yes. It's that initial chum of the market that you want to take advantage of. And this strategy in terms of house pricing will help you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super important, guys. And I'll tell you this, to everybody listening out there, the number one factor with when you go to sell your home is what you price it at. If you overprice your home, it's going to sit on the market. The longer you're on the market, the farther away you get from your list.
Sure.
It's that simple. And so you want to keep that in mind. You want to listen to the professional you're working with. Right. And you want to listen. If you know and trust them, there's no point in hiring them if you're not going to listen to them.
You'd be amazed at the amount of people who don't take my advice and pay for it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, you know what? And we're not alone in that. How many people go to a doctor and the doctor tells them exactly what to do to get better? And what do they do?
Right, they don't do it.
They don't do it. And they don't get better. And then some, at some point down the line, they come around, right? And all of a sudden, they do it.
And they do.
Accomplish what they want to accomplish.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back with headlines.
Tune in to Real Estate Radio Saturdays at 9 a.m. hosted by the real estate therapist Larry Shackman, a top producing real estate broker, author, CEO, and founder of TrustedAgentUSA.com. Top performing agents for 2% commission, saving you thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Real Estate Radio, the ultimate real estate radio experience. Get insider tips from experts throughout the real estate industry. Streaming live on Facebook at WCPT 820. Trusted Agent USA Illinois, license number 475-145-795. Welcome back to Real Estate Radio, sponsored in part by TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, saving you thousands. Now back to Larry, the real estate therapist.
All right, everybody, we are back, and today we're joined by Dylan Kramer, home loan specialist at Neighborhood Loans, and we're kind of jumping all over the place here today. We have a lot going on. This is the day the world changed in the real estate business. Not really.
You feel different, Larry?
No, actually, I don't. But and honestly, I don't think much is going to change at all. We're glad to have you here talking about it. I want to remind everybody that the last Saturday of every month is our influencers panel. Coming up this influencers panel, which I believe is what's the last Saturday of this month? The 31st, the 30th.
Sunday is the first.
So it's 2 weeks from today, the 31st.
So the 31st, we're gonna have Joe Peterson on, the CEO at iList Tech, and Joe is gonna join us talking about everything going on in the real estate market. So be sure to tune in. We're going to jump into some headlines right now, which are brought to you by TrustedAgentUSA.com. Get a cash offer, get the real market value of your home, list your home for sale, or if you want to list it for sale by owner, if you think you have the stomach to go it alone in this crazy market, hey, go to TrustedAgentUSA.com. List your home for sale by owner, and you get all the tools you need to market your property. I would think that through a little bit.
It's available. It doesn't make it a good idea.
But you can do it. It's completely free, and I would think about that. But TrustedAgentUSA.com, sell, buy, or invest. Dylan, let's look at some of the headlines right now, because obviously there's a lot going on. So one of the things I wanted to talk with you about, we touched on a little bit in the beginning of the show, and that is $1 million homes used to be considered like luxury properties that only a few could afford, and they just weren't that common.
Right.
That's all changed, right?
For sure.
I mean, look, the reality of the situation is that a lot of people, especially folks in their 50s and beyond who own their houses for a while,
there's just lots of the area, this entire Chicago metro area, people own houses for a while and all of a sudden find themselves living in a $1 million house. But these are very, I don't want to call them bread and butter suburbs, because I think that's a little disingenuous, right? But because it's not necessarily your Bartlett or your Carroll Stream, right? Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. But, if you go through places where there weren't a ton of $1 million homes 10 or 15 years ago, places like Elmhurst, places like Willow Springs, places like LaGrange, there's plenty of houses that were, $600,000 houses 5, 8, 10 years ago. Now they're $1 million houses, and that's what they're going to sell for. And, we were talking a little bit before the show. about the political conversation around this $25,000 potential credit that is being floated by the Democratic campaign for president. And how it doesn't really address the issue that there's not enough housing.
So yeah,
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. We can talk about that separately. Let's talk about million-dollar houses and stay on it. But my point is, because there's not enough housing, million-dollar houses are staying from a value standpoint because there's not enough other houses to moderate the balance of supply and demand. And so now you have places in Chicago neighborhoods, and not necessarily Lincoln Park or Bucktown, but neighborhoods adjacent to that, where you got single-family homes in Logan Square for $1 million. And again, it's supply and demand, and so the cost of housing keeps going up. Look, at the end of the day, we work in the business, and we're here to help. But we also have a front row seat to the challenge of affordability. And that is because there are so many properties going up so much in value that it's really, really challenging. I mean, we could go down a rabbit hole, but at the end of the day, incomes are double what they were 25 years ago, and housing is 4 times more expensive.
Yeah.
So housing relative to incomes has grown by double, which means it's just consuming so much more of any given family or household's budget just to get housing. It's a real challenge. And so, the million-dollar property, I would argue, is here to stay.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And I would agree with all of that. It's interesting because of all the homes in the U.S., with an estimated value of $1 million or more, what percentage? And I know, it's a loaded question because, if you didn't see the stat, you're going to be all over the place.
Right.
But just off the top of your head, what percentage of homes in the U.S. right now, as we sit here, do you think are valued at $1 million?
I'm going to tell you, Larry, how I come up with my guess. And I would say this. I would have guessed a few years ago that the number was sub 10%.
So let's say 8%. But that's not my answer here today. Given what we've talked about in terms of the lack of supply being created, the inflation of house prices, and all that, it's going to be double and more of that guess. So I would say 8, 16, go half again, 22%.
Okay. You're high, thankfully. but. Your logic is perfectly in line with that because listen, supply and demand drives everything. That's one of the reasons which you stated a little earlier, which is why prices are still being held up so high.
For sure.
We still don't have the number of homes on the market we need. The percentage of homes right now in the U.S. that are valued at $1 million or more is 8.5%.
All right.
It's a pretty good number.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A big number.
Absolutely. And I bet it was like 3% previously. My thought process is on point.
Absolutely. You are spot on with how you're thinking, your logic with all this. So we're at 8.5% now of all homes that are in the U.S. are valued at $1 million or more. Last year, it was 7.6.
Sure.
So it's gone up about 1%. But pre-pandemic, you were very close. That 3% figure, it was actually about 4%.
Yeah.
So it's doubled.
It has more than doubled
since 5 years.
5 years. And that is as a result of all the things we've talked about here today and on past shows, but mainly supply and demand.
Totally get it.
Yeah, supply and demand.
Totally get it, man. That, look, the reality is you have to address
the demand portion of the equation, the supply portion of this. Answers that address demand are problematic. And I think the only thing I really have to say about the Democrats' $25,000 housing credit thing, no matter what it looks and feels like, it's going to boost demand.
without any impact on supply. Mm-hmm. So I get the idea that we're pitching, hey, things will be more affordable. I hear that. But I don't think that that's going to be the intended situation. And I, you know, one of the things I've said, Larry, is we've had this change in mortgage, the level of mortgage rates over the course of the last 6 months, certainly over the last 6 weeks, more significantly, is that it's, you know, look, for every 1% mortgage rates drop, right? So if we get all the way to 6.5 from the 7.5 we were at, 3 to 5 million people become interested in housing.
Hold that thought.
But my point is, if you make it $25,000 more affordable to do a transaction,
right?
Don't you think 3 to 5 million more people might become interested in doing a housing deal?
100%.
And so that's my worry about this political answer.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like. And the reason I said hold that point is because after our next break, we're going to.
I want to dive deep
into what we're going to talk about here regarding that, because it's super important. We got good news for buyers. Let's.
I agree. But I think that it's a window where the buyers have to move fast.
They have to move fast, and it's always fluid. It's moving back and forth. You got to pick your spots, but. You don't want to drag your feet either, because it could cost you a lot of money and it could cost you opportunity. And we're going to get back to that in a second. We covered it earlier, but today is the day that everything changes, supposedly. I don't think anything's going to change. The two major changes that are happening is no longer can realtors, when they put a property on the MLS, no longer can we any more advertise what that co-op commission is. So even if the seller is willing to pay 2.5%, 2%, whatever it is, to the buyer's agent or buyer's brokerage, you cannot advertise that anymore in the MLS. The other change is, if you're a buyer's agent, if you're a real estate agent, you're working with a buyer, before you show them home one now, you have to have an agreement with them that lets them know exactly what you're going to do, exactly what your commission is. And frankly, if the seller doesn't pay, the buyer is going to be on the hook for that commission. Those are the two major things that are changing right now. And I'm not sure, Dylan, that it's really going to affect much. I really don't.
I agree with you. Yeah, that's all I'll say. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change much, because at the end of the day, like we discussed earlier, buyers in most cases are not going to have, like on $1 million home, that additional $25,000 to bring to the table, right, and pay their broker outside of their down payment, their closing costs, and everything else that goes along with
that. And I don't think, Larry, that even, I don't think you need to buy $1 million property to have that
financial stress be part of your reality, right? I mean, if you turn around and buy a $300,000 house, you put 5% down, it's $15,000 plus $5,000 in closing costs, give or take, for 20, and then 2.5% of that's another six, almost seven. Who's got that in cash? If you had that, you'd buy a $500,000 house. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about?
Exactly. It's all relative, and frankly, I agree with you in that for people buying a $500,000 house, it's even more difficult.
Yes.
Because with a $5,000 house, you're still coming up with 12.5.
Correct.
And let me tell you something. I work with a lot of buyers buying in that price range. They do not have an additional $12,500 to pull out of their butt to pay me. It comes out of the proceeds of the sale. It's going to continue to do that. We just can't advertise it, and we have to articulate that to the buyer the first time we talk to them.
You're right.
And look, I think that the buyers need to be better informed. I think that they're
one of the reasons the lawsuit even came to be, Larry, is we've all seen the marketing over the years where newer agents, people who specialize in buyers, they get out of social media, they advertise some version of you should buy a house,
You should use me as your buyer's agent. My services are free to you because the seller pays for it.
Yeah.
And that's not exactly 100% true. I mean, factually, yes, but the intellectual leap that creates the mindset that the buyer hasn't been paying for that in the cost of the transaction, I think it was glossed over, and ultimately was the reason behind the lawsuit and why it was successful, aside from the AR lawyers. And to that end, I think we're solving that problem, and more buyer transparency, more disclosure, more understanding on the part of buyers what they're paying for and what they get, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when this all started, I saw a lot of things out there saying, oh, buyers are excited. This is a new day. It's a good thing. Until they found out what this actually is.
Right. You know, then they found out, no,
you're actually going to have to come up with another 2.5% or whatever it is outside of everything else you already come up with.
You know, Larry, one of the things I think from a PR standpoint that's been interesting
is look, we all heard the cliches, everybody hates lawyers, but everybody loves their lawyer, right?
I got a guy.
Absolutely.
And we're in that situation here, I think, you know, where everybody turns around, which is $10 word.
Oh, yeah.
Real estate professionals.
Yeah.
And until you're going to bat for them. Well, they don't do anything. They're just leaving the door open. They just take you out of the car, blah, 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 blah. All that stereotypical stuff that you've heard over the years. And I think that this has shined a light on the value that if you're working with a buyer that you bring to the table and show them that you're going to have. Again, that transparency, I think, is really, really valuable in the long run.
I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing for buyer's agents, just like listing agents do, to articulate their value, let your buyer know exactly what you're going to do for them. And just like we let our sellers know, I think we always should have been having a buyer sign a buyer agency agreement because, you know, I mean, that's just, I think personally, what we always should have done. I haven't always done it. You know, here's the real trick for me, this whole thing that I'm still trying to not wrap myself around, but I don't understand why everybody doesn't feel this way. So here's the thing. Buyers, when they come, buyers are bringing the money to the table. It's not the seller's money. Until the buyer comes to the table with an offer,
right?
Okay. So, additionally, now, is it the buyer? Are they needing to come up with this extra commission, right? So, on a $500,000 home, $12,500. Why? I mean, they're bringing all the money to the table, and it's actually coming out of the money they're bringing to the table. I mean, the logic of it seems, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean,
I hear your point. I also see the seller side on the other side, right?
They're like, if you're bringing $500,000, yes, you're the one bringing the money. But I'm the one who owns the asset worth $500,000. So, like, why? And so it's a good back and forth. I think, look, at the end of the day, one of the things that, you know, we've been talking about here is the idea that everybody's transparent and fairly compensated. And I think that ultimately we're fixing kind of to your point of, hey, I always didn't get somebody to sign a buyer's agreement. We're fixing the human nature thing through compliance. Compliance departments exist to keep people from cutting corners to their own benefit, right? And so, you know, whether that's in the mortgage business, in the insurance business, in the financial services business, compliance departments exist. They're like, you have to do this, check this box, says you did it. You have to show people this, you got to get them to sign this. It's in every business, and now it's in real estate business, and I think we'll be better for it. Because, look, consumers, I think sometimes, you know, back to that conversation that we had a minute ago, consumers sometimes fell into the marketing of, or on the train tracks, if you will, in front of buyer's agents, and they kind of get scooped up and dropped on the treadmill of the real estate transaction production. And all of a sudden, they're pre-approved, they're talking to a lender, and they're out shopping,
and they get a home inspection, and
now numbers are coming at them, and they're like, hey, you got a plan to move it. And I've had people call me 2 weeks before closing, 10 days before closing, and they're like, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, that right? is a real failing of their
agents. And I completely agree. And so I think that part of the
good thing for buyers part of it is that in showing your value as buyer's agent to the consumer, you're like, look, I'm going to turn around and do these things to make sure you understand the market, understand what you're buying, understand the home buying process, understand what your pre-approval does and doesn't do, understand what getting through that mortgage process. What's the difference between an appraisal and a home inspection? Mm-hmm. I've had people ask me, I'm like, hey, I need you to pay for your appraisal because we're at the mortgage part of the thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, I just paid a home inspector. I know, but the appraiser's going out to. They're like, yeah, he's going to inspect the home. Like, I have an inspection. It's like, no.
Yeah, like they should know all that up front.
Right. And so when we don't, it's a failing. And I think that this compliance requirement is going to put people in a place where they can learn more. Look, it doesn't matter whether it's $300,000 or $1 million. When you invest in that piece of property, it's the biggest investment you're likely making, and you should really understand it more.
Yeah, and that is your agent's job to do that as your agent representing you as a buyer. They're your fiduciary. They're working on your behalf. They're working to get you the best deal they can. And they also should be informing you every step of the way exactly what the transaction, what's coming, and how it's going to affect you.
Right.
You should know that.
Speaking of the best deal you can, Larry, do you want to segue and talk a little bit about rates?
I do. We're going to take a quick break, but before we do take that break, I just want to cover something real quick. So, you know, the NAR has been under fire for a while.
Right? Sure.
And
by you.
Yeah, exactly. And I still feel the same way. But the NAR has been under fire, not only by me, but a lot of people. And they do some good things, and they do some things that make me, you know, kind of question them. But they have a competitor, the American Real Estate Association, which is a new association that launched in 2024. And we're going to see if that takes any firm footing in the real estate market and if agents flock there. The thing I don't like about the NAR is I am forced to join the NAR in order to A, call myself a realtor, and B, have access to the MLS.
Right.
I don't think that's right. I think that's kind of monopolistic, and I think it's, you know, I think it's questionable. I really do. I'm not saying I wouldn't be a member if I didn't have to be, but I don't think I should be forced to be a member of the NAR in order to have access to the MLS, which I need in order to actually have a real estate career.
Right.
I hear you. All right. So let's get off that. Let's take a quick 30-second break. We're going to cover rates and some other things in the mortgage industry.
Tune in to Real Estate Radio, Saturdays at 9 a.m., hosted by the real estate therapist, Larry Shackman, a top-producing real estate broker, author, CEO, and founder of TrustedAgentUSA.com. Top-performing agents for 2% commission, saving you thousands when you sell, buy, or invest. Real Estate Radio, the ultimate real estate radio experience. Get insider tips from experts throughout the real estate industry. Streaming live on Facebook at WCPT 820. Trusted Agent USA, Illinois, license number 475-145-795. Welcome back to Real Estate Radio, sponsored in part by TrustedAgentUSA.com, the ultimate real estate matchmaker, saving you thousands. Now back to Larry, the real estate therapist.
All right, everybody, we are back, and we're going to wrap it up this morning by talking about rates. And frankly, Dylan has some great news for buyers. And Dylan, let's dive into this. And where are we at with rates right now?
Sure. You know, Larry, we've reached the point where rates are kind of dipped below 7%. But I mean, they're still in the high sixes, right?
So you're going to look at on your average base rate, you know, 6.875, get the right day, might get 6.75. But that's down from almost 8 earlier this year. And I sent you an article, and you know, they've done some math, and the interesting thing, and there's a couple of factors in this, but the most interesting thing to me, as it relates to real estate transactions, we had a buyer do this week. For the people who are already in the market, and have been since springtime, the shift in mortgage rates over the last few months to these lower levels has created an additional $30,000 to $35,000 in buying power. So if you were pre-approved 6 months ago for a $350,000 loan, today you might be able to get a $380,000 loan. And it doesn't mean you should go spend that money, but because you might be able to find a 350 or 360 house that meets your needs and not spend all of it. But the other interesting thing, we had a buyer out shopping last weekend, and he had kind of had the mindset like his max was a $425,000 deal, right? Like he was he really liked the 400. They didn't find the houses they wanted. He mentally got another $25,000 he had to spend. But as we shared this information, he found a house in his wife absolutely loved it, checked all their boxes, asking for 40. And he's like, I can't pay it. Like, I don't even want to go look at it. We're like, go look at it. And I showed him the payment from March versus the payment now. And fact of the matter is, at 440, that house was $37 less expensive than what he had been pre-approved for at $400,000 back in March between the tax bill and the other expenses. And so I was able to negotiate a little and get it for $430,000, which made it a little more affordable. But the thing is that if you're out there and you're like, I can't pay more than an X, I would just tell you, don't give up on the negotiations. You can afford to spend the last $10,000 because at today's rates, you're in a better spot than you were before. You were more affordable, and your payment might actually be lower at a higher, slightly higher number at these rates. Your 450 deal today might be more affordable than your 430 deal 6 months ago. And so the thing I say for him and other people in this situation, if you've been pre-approved in shopping, the time is now. Because rates are getting close to that 1% drop, right? You heard me mention earlier that for every 1% drop we've studied, there is a 3 to 5 million person pool that becomes requalified to re-enter the real estate market. And if rates hold at these lower levels, we'll get those people in the market. And if you don't think that 3 to 5 of those 3 to 5 million people aren't going to come in and bid up the price of the place you want to buy, you're mistaken. That place that you're now looking at today at 430, maybe 460, because somebody's willing to pay that at a lower rate. The time is now, if you've been out shopping, to get the lower rate and not experience competitive pricing in the way that we will if rates hold lower. So it's really urgent for that. And Larry, I would just say, if anybody listening wants a link to the article that I sent to you, yes, regarding this pricing difference, you can text LINK to 630-708-7088, and I will send you the same article that I sent to Larry. So it's like a professional insider's secret article. So again, text 630-708-7088, and just text LINK, and I'll forward the article to you.
I'm going
to
guess that's the number where people can get in touch with you as well if they're looking to get pre-approved, if they're looking to get a second opinion on their pre-approval. You know, that's always a good thing to
absolutely
do. So give Dylan a call, and you guys, we're going to wrap it up. My name is Larry Shackman. I've been your host here today on the Real Estate Radio Show. And if you need any help buying, selling, or investing, go to trustedagentusa.com and get in the market. Now's the time to do it. All right. Love you guys. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you soon.